You're listening to Live from Mount Sinai on the TalkRadio.com radio network. This is Moisha. This is our first show, and we have a special guest in the studio today. Say hello to the masses, Ruth.
Hello to the masses.
Ruth is not only a guest, but she's also my sister. I'm not going to reveal her real name. She doesn't want me to do that. She wants to use an alias. But, I don't really know what the fuck I was going to say. But she is my sister. And
you love me a lot. All right.
This is a fresh show. We're a little screwed up. I really need like some extreme Valium right now because I nearly had a fucking anxiety attack trying to figure out how to broadcast in this live 365 thingy. This is just not for mortals. I just want to ask, it's sort of weird, calling you, by a name. I know your alias, but it's sort of, weird calling you by a name that's not really you and you're like my sister. I wonder if it's okay if I called you Ruthie.
Yeah. It's fine with me if you call me Ruthie. It's fine, Moisha.
Okay. Now, I just want to get an idea why you're concealing your true name.
Well, if I want to remain my Hollywood sort of up-and-coming star status, I just think it's good to be discreet about, who I am in the real world and who I am right here in your studio.
So this has nothing to do with revealing your status as a CIA operative? Okay. all right. We actually normally broadcast at 11 o'clock p.m. Eastern Time, which is 8 o'clock Pacific time, Ruth. Ruth had to.
Ruth goes to bed early.
Yeah,
long and short of it.
That's
a big day tomorrow.
That's right. Normally we broadcast at 8 p.m. Pacific time. Okay. For updated scheduling information, please go to talkwarrior.com. I will be accepting calls later in the show. Phone number is 415-738-0689. That's 415-738-0689. Okay. Ruth has to, she is also leaving early, so I'm not going to go into my, sort of delay my sermon. And I'm just going to talk to Ruth a little bit since she's here. I actually don't even know what the fuck to ask her because this is all a complete mess tonight. But I, you know what I want to ask you?
What do you want to ask me?
All right. I want you to be my witness. And I want you to tell the masses out there who came first with the idea to have an anti-right-wing radio network. Was it Al Franken, who I love, I respect and I love, but I just, you're my witness, I want to know, like...
I have to say, since I have been in the same town that Al Franken grew up in many a times, it's a sidebar, Moish has been talking about this radio show for the past 2+ years. This idea of putting the real ideas out there has been Moish's all along.
Now you're from where? You're from Al Franken's state. Can I disclose that?
Yes, you can.
All right. Now there's something else about there's sort of like a Bermuda Triangle of fame and fortune, where in the vicinity of where Al Franken lived. Could you elaborate a little bit on that?
We'd have to call one of my associates who can give you, you know, the details. But on that particular block, there's been several Hollywood stars, movie producers, you know, key Hollywood figures, and, you know, just nice.
Could you name some names?
You know, the Coen brothers.
Mm-hmm.
Al Franken.
Prince. Right.
Prince.
Who else?
We grew up in the same block. I mean, the guys I was just talking about all grew up on the same, literally.
Really? What
together as little kids.
Was this like a rich area or
middle
class? What, you know, how much money? The guy from Apple also came from this area.
One of the main guys at Pixar.
Was it?
I forget his name.
Steve Jobs, right?
No, not Steve Jobs.
Wozniak?
It was one of the
guys. Was.
I don't know who it was.
Was it the founder? One of the founders?
I don't know. It was just one of the guys who's head of Pixar.
Oh.
Key role in Pixar.
I wouldn't know. So, like, could you tell us what area? I mean, this is...
This is a, you know, middle to upper class neighborhood.
Well, no, what part of... This is Minneapolis, right?
It's a suburb of Minneapolis. It's called St. Louis Park.
How much money are we talking about? What, these people have money? Did they, were they born
the
starving or, you know?
I don't know the details.
Uh-huh. Right.
But I'm not as character, I think people in those sort of categories sometimes.
Okay. All right. You're not into... Categorizing people, okay. Now, I wanted to ask. I wanted to thank Montesco Boy for all the equipment he supplied for this station, even though, I couldn't use any of it. But he really gave me a whole shitload of stuff, and actually, he gave me like a 900-foot RJ45 network adapter thing, which I'm actually using right now. That is actually powering our phone line. So, I would like to thank him for that, and if anyone, for those that are not I don't know, Montesco Boy is my sister's, I can't talk about Montesco Boy, okay. I had, before we did the show, I had talked to Ruth about, I said, tell me what I cannot talk about, and she gave me a list of things I can't go to, I can't go down that road, and, Montesco Boy was not on the list, My sister's giving me evil looks now and passing me messages. Let's see. I'm so tired. I should go to bed. I have to go to be up really early. Okay, so I guess my sister has to go, and I will start my thing.
Love you, bro.
Okay, same here. Thanks a lot. Thanks a lot. Boy, this was a real fuck up. You know. Thank you. Well, you can hear it later. You can hear it later.
Okay.
I mean, yeah. I mean,
you know what?
See, I'm so goofballed out right now that I can't go into my angry tirade.
It's okay. You have it in you. You got it.
I am proceeding.
Okay.
I don't know if I'll do the whole.
This is your first show, you know.
Yeah.
You gotta give yourself a slap. It's not like this is your, you know, 15th year of radio, my friend.
Okay.
Okay. Peace and love.
Okay. Take it easy. Take it easy, Ruth.
Good night, masses.
Okay. I'll see you later. Today, we'll be covering the following topics. First topic is the Angry White Man Challenge. The Angry White Man Challenge is a very important topic on this show. I don't know how to even begin to articulate. I can't even articulate the word articulate. The incredible importance of the Angry White Man Challenge. All other topics just sort of revolve around it. We will also be doing a Bush bashing. Every show that we do from now until the upcoming election will have a Bush bash segment. You know, fuck it. I'm gonna change that. Every show that we do for as long as I live, and every show that my children, none of which have been born or even conceived yet, will have a Bush bash segment. And if any of my unborn children fail to bash Bush on this radio show, I'm disowning the great ungrateful bastards. Fuck 'em. Lastly, I will be submitting a formal apology to the Iraqi people. But actually, that's probably gonna, I am going to do that on the next show. This is probably already too much. Let's get started with the Angry White Male Challenge. Part of the mission of this show is to expose the angry white male for who he truly is, a real asshole. Angry white males litter the landscape of television and especially radio with angry, conservative, horse shit. And their angry white male followers, the millions of ditto-headed masses, eat their shit without question. Like it was manna from fucking heaven. I was watching one of the most banal, vitriolic, angry white males alive, Bill O'Reilly, debate one of the great geniuses of our time, an economist named Paul Krugman. I have a lot of trouble with this guy's name. I keep calling him Krugman. I'm just going to call him Krug. Krug has a column in the New York Times. He's also plugging a book, which was why he was on the tube with that asshole O'Reilly. Was also plugging a book. O'Reilly says to Krug, "You're Mr. Entitlement. I'm Mr. Self-Reliance." O'Reilly kept pointing this big, wretched claw of a finger at Krug, trying to bait him. O'Reilly was pissed. He was steaming. At several points in the debate, I thought O'Reilly was literally going to get up and belt Krug. O'Reilly also called Krug a quasi-socialist. This was, of course, just name-calling. Krug is not a socialist. O'Reilly's statement, you're Mr. Entitlement and I'm Mr. Self-Reliance is the basic premise of the angry white male philosophy. I'm sorry, listeners, but I have to just say to my sister, please either stay or get out. All right. Sorry. Thank you. I'm sorry. She's just coming in and out, driving me crazy. The angry white male believes that government should only interfere with people's lives in the bedroom and that everyone else should be left up to the free market. Everything else, rather. And if you happen to be homeless or you happen to make minimum wage and have to work for 100 hours a week to keep a roof over your head, well, you're just inferior. And if you don't agree, well, then you're socialist. I happen to be a socialist, but the vast majority of people who are labeled socialists or communists by angry white males would have been called Rockefeller Republicans 30 years ago. What the angry white male philosophy really is an updated version of social Darwinism. Not only men who are angry white males, it's also women. I truly believe that if it weren't for the abortion issue, women would vote Republican in roughly the same numbers as men. The Democratic Party would cease to exist and the United States would much more rapidly devolve into fascism. I am sick and tired of the angry white male shit. I have put up with it since Reagan got elected almost 25 years ago. I'm sick of it. I'm just fucking tired of it, and I'm going to bury it. I'm going to bury it right now. I submit to you, angry white male, a challenge. Self-reliance is pure shit. People don't become alpha males and females because they are better than everyone else. They become alpha males and females because they happen to have alpha male and female parents. Going to prove to you that alpha males aren't any better than anyone else. I'm going to prove it right now with my challenge. Okay, I was going to use Ruthie as my witness, but now that she's sort of fucking vanished on me, I can't do that, but you'll just have to take my word for it that I have been unemployed for years, and I'm at the bottom of the food chain, man. You could get a little lower than me, but not much. Okay, let me introduce my challenge. I can prove that I am not only mentally but physically superior to any angry white male alive. I challenge the angry white male to an IQ test in order to prove intellectual superiority and a wrestling match to prove physical superiority. Here are the rules of the challenge. The IQ test must be a Stanford-Binet IQ test. The wrestling match must conform completely to Olympic rules set forth by the ancient Greeks. Accordingly, I will not wrestle another man with clothes. If you want to wrestle me, we will have to do it naked like real men. Gentiles must be sure to wash their dirty, uncircumcised penises really good before they wrestle me, as I don't want to get any of that gross, disgusting Republican penis stuff all over my clean and virtuous body. Angry white males who I challenge must pay for all costs related to the challenge. I can't pay because I'm broke. on account of the greed of assholes like you. You also must grant me permission to record and broadcast the competition. You must challenge me in both IQ and wrestling. In the event that there is a draw, the winner will be decided in a karate competition or poetry slam. Take your pick. Although I will challenge angry white women to IQ tests, I will not wrestle women. Andy Kaufman has already done that, and I'm not going there. I challenge you, Bill O'Reilly, and every single angry white male in your neo-fascist propaganda network. This goes especially for you, Rupert Murdoch, slimy Aussie bastard. Let's see, who else is on my list? Joe Scarborough, and his Fox Clone Network, MSNBC. I challenge a Republican asshole, Arnold Schwarzenegger. Arnold Schwarzenegger is probably the only guy out there crazy enough to accept my challenge. I challenge Rush Limbaugh. With exception to John McCain, I challenge all Republicans in Congress. I will not challenge McCain because he has been tortured, and I just cannot challenge someone who has been tortured. I feel bad for them. I feel bad for the political prisoners tortured by American soldiers as well. Okay. What else we got? Okay. I'm going to do the next segment and, try to run out of here with my tail between my legs or something. All right. There's not much to learn on my show. I'm not a learned person. I'm not here to educate you. I'm here to raise your blood pressure. If anyone learns anything on my show, I hope that it's that George Bush is not a man. I want people to stop seeing him in human terms, because he is not human. Perhaps proto-human, not human. No human being can be such an incredible asshole and not either come from the seed of Satan or from outer space. Just not possible. I want you to think of Bush as a carcinogen and the Republican Party as cancer. I am urging my fellow Americans in the moral minority to hold their noses in November and extricate this vile cancer of republicanism. We must extricate this cancer, or we will set the clock back 1,000 years on progress. We must rid ourselves of this evil. I implore those who choose good over evil, right over wrong, and sanity over insanity, to do the right thing. Do the right thing, hold your nose, and vote the ticket. Tell me, Ruthie. Oh. Fuck. Alright. I was gonna go on and talk about, how George Bush handled the 9/11 crisis on the first day. But, you know, fuck it. First airing is turning into some kind of fucking disaster. And, you know something? I'm actually a little pissed off at my sister, you know, because, I, you know, when I wrote this fucking sermon, and I really, you know, I incorporated it. I expected her to like fucking be here, but she just vanished. And you know something, I think the sermon idea just sucks. Just sucks. I will never like choreograph this shit again. If I can't do this straight, then I just won't do it. I'm gonna just go on with what I was gonna say about Bush and do it without the fucking sermon. I don't have my notes together. All the notes are squished into this choreographed speech, and you know that sucks. It's not working. I don't want to do that. I saw Bush being interviewed on, it wasn't on Larry King, but it was, Larry King was, you know, he was there. It wasn't the official Larry King studio, but Larry King was doing the interviewing, and Bush was with his wife. And Larry King asked Bush about and I'm surprised, you know, Larry King asked him this question, because Larry King doesn't ask tough questions, but Larry King asked Bush about that, why after he learned about this was right after he learned about the tragedy, the 9/11 tragedy, and he was in this schoolroom visiting these children. He just happened be reading this book about a goat, and Larry King asked him, why did you, you know, after you learned about this, these developments, why did you read this book about a goat for like 10 minutes? This was featured on Fahrenheit 9/11. I actually wish that Moore had done, you know, showed me the whole 11 minutes or whatever it was of Bush reading the book about the goat. May not have been a book about a goat, I don't remember. It was some fucking kid's book, but Bush's response to King was, well, you have to look at how I my actions after that. And, you know, I really moved to, and I don't remember his exact words, but, you know, she was talking about some sort of, accomplishments that happened, supposed accomplishments, you know, some people might view them as accomplishments. I don't view invading, Afghanistan the way he did and Iraq as accomplishments. But, you know, he sort of glossed over the whole question. Nobody really, really remembers, what happened on that day. You know, it's like everyone, either I have the longest memory in the world, or everyone has memories like shit. I don't know. But let me tell you, you know, what happened on that day. George Bush vanished. He just took off on supposedly on Air Force One, and he was headed towards supposedly Colorado, to the underground bunker. But here's the thing. He didn't hold a press conference. There was no recorded message. There was nothing. He just vanished for a whole day, and everyone else in the country is having, you know, a shit fit. You know, you can't blame people because, you know, no one knew what the fuck was going on. Everyone was in the dark. And where was our leader? He had just vanished. He was gone. And everyone's scared and panicked. And, you know, that is just really shitty leadership. I mean, it just sucks. I don't care. Maybe Bush didn't know what was going on, but that's okay. He should have, you know, done a quickie press conference and said, you know, what people needed to hear. I'm in control. Everything is all right. I'm cool. You're cool. And we're doing something about the terrorists. But that's not what happened. He just fucking vanished. He turned up, I don't know, a day or two later and cried in front of, I don't remember where he was. Maybe it was at the World Trade Center and he's crying. But, you know, I don't need his fucking tears. You know, I need the president to give me a little assurance. Now let's take, you know, someone, I'm going to give you an example of what you do in national, of good leadership in a national emergency. And this is what you do. I'm not saying this is what you do, but here's an example of someone that, really did the right thing. And I'm going to use an example of a pretty evil man, Joseph Stalin. Joseph Stalin is perhaps almost as evil as George Bush. Joseph Stalin committed more evil, but I think that's only because he had more opportunities to commit more evil. Certainly George Bush is the most evil man of the 21st century. Stalin, you could argue that he was the most evil man or the second most evil man of the last century, but he's evil. That's all I'm saying. He's evil. I'm not like saying Stalin, you know, was a good leader. He had good intentions, but in this case, in the example I'm going to give you, he chose, showed good leadership in this example, even though he's evil. Okay. Now, this was during World War II. The Nazis were 30 miles outside of Moscow, and the shit was hitting the fan. I mean, the government was considering bailing, but Stalin, he didn't bail. not only that, he was seen publicly. He gave a speech, and I don't know the details of the speech, but he was there. He didn't bug out. And symbolically, he was saying to the people, everything is cool. I'm here. I'm the leader. I'm going to protect you. And I'm doing my job. But George Bush really is a chicken shit asshole. Let's just, you know, fuck it. I'm just going to say it. I mean, we talk about, certainly Clinton didn't have any backbone, but I think Bush has, I mean, this guy is a spineless. He is a jellyfish. You know, personally, I don't really give a shit whether George Bush read a book about a goat for, you know, 10 minutes. Big shit. I don't, you know, you don't want someone that's gonna just rush to judgment. You want someone to, like, just pause a moment and think things over. I mean, maybe he was just collecting his thoughts. I don't think that Bush should be bashed because, you know, he read, like a book about a goat. I mean, it doesn't mean anything. I used to have this job. I was selling Beatrice Potter books day to day. Door to door. Okay? To businesses. And it was just such a shit job, and I was like, I was going broke. It sucked. I think it's the only job I've ever had where I've lost money. And so I'm like way out of my territory. You know, I'm in Boston, okay? But I was in like fucking Rhode Island. I don't even know where. And I'm selling these books and I'm trying to sell them and I'm not making any money. And it's like my whole life is going to shit. And I was like, you know, fuck it. I'm just gonna, I'm gonna read I think it was Peter Rabbit. I'm not sure. Peter Rabbit. And I said, fuck it. I'm gonna read some Beatrice Potter. I don't give a shit. I'm pulling right over. You know, I don't care if, you know, the police come by and they say, oh, what are you doing here, parked here, you know? I don't give a shit. I'm reading some Beatrice Potter, and fuck it. And after I read the first Beatrice Potter, I said, you know, fuck it, that wasn't bad. I'm reading the second one, you know? But, Beatrice Potter, she's sort of funny because she's like, everything is, like, I can't, you know, forget her words. Everything is like, you're naughty. This was a naughty, I think, like a naughty rabbit. Peter was a naughty, she's like, there's sort of like a big, I don't know how to articulate it, like morality thing with children, and she's sort of trying to curb their behavior and get them to be, like, not naughty. She's trying to get them to be good. It's like, the book sort of had, like, deep moral implications. I don't know. But, you know, Beatrice Potter, she's okay. And, you know, I had to read, you know, Beatrice Potter because, you know, my whole life was fucking falling apart. That's okay. But, you know, after that, I didn't go like running off like a chicken shit. You know, I just put the books down, put the kids' books down. I didn't pick them up again. And I quit my fucking job. you know, sometimes you just gotta, collect your shit. Boy, you know, let me give you the phone number again. 415-738-0689. I mean, I'm like really, really disappointed about this show. I mean, it's the first show, but man, what a fuck up. Man. And I don't know, things just, I thought I would have a better, you know, what's the word, rapport with, you know, with my sister. You know, when we talk, we're just, it's like, we're talking like normal people. And that's how I want it to be. But everything seems sort of staged. It's a lot of my fault, I think, because I was like, making shitty jokes and, but, I don't know. Give you the number again. There's probably about, I don't know, maybe if I get lucky, about 3 people a week will tune into this show. Number is area code 415-0689. My name is Moisha, and you know, I don't really know what the fuck to say now. I'm just I went through hell just getting this broadcast thing going, and then everything just went to shit. So, sort of depressed. Let me tell you about who I'd like to get as a guest. It's a someone that you know, and with all that craziness in California with the recall election, there was like, you know, 900 people running for governor. You know, it was like a circus. You know, they had like Gary Coleman and some porno star, I don't, you know, and everyone and their grandmother was running for governor. But there was one really interesting candidate running for this ridiculous recall election thingy, and her name was Georgie Russell. I'm just sort of, she's like, she's a progressive. She's into, Linux, and, she just seemed, and she's, oh boy, I mean, I'd just love to get her on the show because she has, like all this crazy shit went on in her campaign, and it's just you know, she's like really, boy, I'm gonna contact Georgie. By the way, my friend Dickie Richards, does a blog, on a Georgie blog. Not sure I remember the name. I could pull up the blog. I could get you the address. Actually, you know what? I think, if you go, no, here, it's, HTTP Georgie.blogspot.com. And the blog is entitled A Lonely Old Guy's Blog About Georgie Russell's Blog. It's like a postmodern blog. Like, he's doing a blog about Georgie's blog, only Georgie sort of abandoned her blog. If you want to know about, yeah, let me give you Georgie's blog address. She hasn't updated since like May 27th, 2004. Her blog URL is http://georgieforgov.blogspot.com. I'm sort of even, you know, afraid to even ask her to do the blog, I'm sorry, the radio show, because this has been such a fucking disaster. I might ask, but I might not. I'll see how I feel. I don't know. Boy, what a wipeout. You know, I had a dedication page, and you know, I can't even find the damn thing. I mean, it just sucks, man. I mean, I'm like getting up right now and I'm looking for my dedication page, and it's like the fucking thing vanished. And I can't just stop. You know, stop talking and look for it so I can concentrate on looking for the dedication page, because then that's like dead air. You know, I need some advertisement, some like, I don't know, some message. Public service message, so if I have to like piss or you know, have a swig of beer or drink some water or do something or find the fucking dedication page, you know, I could do that without a nervous breakdown. But, you know, fuck the dedication page. I mean, it's just more of this choreographed shit, you know? I wasn't dedicating, you know, it's just like all this, you know, pre-written shit, all this canned shit, and you know what? Fuck that. You know? I'm Moisha. I am what I am. And if people don't like it, well, fuck it. I don't give a shit. You know? Alright. Well, I think I am going to take off. It's the next show is scheduled to be broadcast at 8:00 Pacific time next Sunday. And what else? Yeah. If you're interested in tuning in, go to talkwarrior.com. You'll get recent scheduling information, current scheduling information. So if there's any kind of changes, you know, you'll know. But I'll be here, I'll see you next week. Take care.